It's the best way I know to bring you a little piece of business that we all have together, a shared experience in the Lord. And, got to be honest, some of it is that there's still a window open in my heart that I'm not closing, and I kind of don't want to. Golly, John, why don't you turn this way? Hey, is that profile good?
I'm just
kidding.
It's all better stuff.
We want to have a shared conversation this morning with you and try not to take a long time. But I want to bring out, first of all, a scripture that I sort of want to anchor our discussion with. It's from.
Let's go! Owl, see,
everybody stare at his dad real fast, make him feel super nervous. We had one, we had a runner, we had an escapee.
This commercial.
They obviously forgot to turn on the electric fence.
I know.
Actually, I think that's probably the first 2 minutes of the sermon. I mean, I'm hearing a little bit differently than some, maybe. Thanks, Dad.
Yes, sir. Flo was on the scene.
Flo was on the scene. So the scripture I want to bring to mind is from Matthew 17, 1 and 2. But Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. It's an amazing story of an encounter of Jesus as he truly is. On the mountain. Let's pray. Father, we only seek your words. We ask your spirit to speak through the clutter of any words I might add, John might add. God, we want to continue to seek you even as we attempt to speak on your behalf. So Holy Spirit, come and talk to our hearts now as a congregation. Help us hear with one heart. The words your spirit says in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the lessons I've been learning continually from the last, 5 or 6 years is don't worship the mountain of Jesus. Worship Jesus on the mountain. We've had a number of shared experiences of many of us. And as thinking about that, it's a lot of question mark in a lot of people's minds about where things have been and where things have gone. I could get into a really long story. I don't think that would be helpful to you. But the end result has been the birth of Hope Mountain Ministries. That God turned John Grizzle into a lightning rod for evangelism and for attracting folks who are lost or trapped in addiction to find Jesus and find freedom. I tried to count up how many people it's been since 2018, and I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 or 15.
Well, a little bit more surprised.
Okay, you got a list?
Got a little small list.
All right.
Rough list.
Good, because I feel kind of weird.
Yeah, I feel weird too.
All right.
It's time to break.
You know,
it's a lot of weight on this altar.
Before Hope Mountain Ministry became Hope Mountain Ministry, it was really Warm Grove Church.
That's right. Where's that mic? Pick up the mic.
Sorry. Well, I said it was before Hope Mountain Ministry. It became Hope Mountain Ministry. It was Warm Grove Church. And it started with you. It started with Joy and Chris. Listening to my family. and hear the prayer of my mother of getting me help. And so me and Chris made that journey up that road to Bethel Colony of Mercy, where I met and really found Jesus for the first time in my life. And I sit there going through all the emotions, meeting new friends, and discovering the love of Jesus Christ that helped me be the man who I am today, helped deliver me from pure darkness and the years of 30 years of alcohol abuse in my life. And I sit there and I listened as I worked in the pastor's office at Bethel Colony of Mercy to other people, other families, like my family and like me, who had spent tens of thousands of dollars going to different rehabs year by year. You know, some had even been in a 10-year span. And I was just thinking, how can I help these people? Because Jesus done this for free for me. It didn't take thousands of dollars. It did take a few dollars. But, you know, Jesus provided all that. And I went to the first homecoming. Me and Jason and Jessica, my daughter Savannah. And I remember listening to all the praise music, getting ready to, you know, start up homecoming and everything. And I heard Jason praying right beside me and listening to the music. And he said, "Help somebody. Please, Lord, help somebody." Well, that's kind of how, you know, Hope Mountain Ministry has come about, a little day by day. And
I believe you're about telling how many people God has helped. I will cut this off at the right time. We don't say anything today. People can pick their teeth.
Well, we have raised funds enough to document that we've paid 16 people to go to Bethel Colony of Mercy. That's everything that they needed or were provided for.
In COVID time.
Yeah. That was their tuition fees. That was their a little bit of canteen or spending money. The fees that were needed to get AIDS tests, different medical tests that are required by...
We purchased drug tests.
Alcohol breathalyzers for families. Sometimes room and board for people.
Lots of room and board.
Clothes. Gas money. Just tons of different things that you wouldn't think of. We've also assisted in a total of, I know, of 24 people that have gone to either Bethel Colony of Mercy or Faith Home in Greenwood, South Carolina. A couple of them have went twice because sometimes people just go to appease somebody else and not do it for themselves.
Some go three times.
Yeah, exactly. But we've also raised or had fundraisers for toilet paper. And you think, well, that's kind of funny. But, you know, I know Chris gets a joke out of it. You know, we're having a toilet paper drive at our church, you know, whatever. But the thing about it is, folks, with those toilet paper drives that we do, those utility paper drives that we do, that is money for Bethel Colony of Mercy. And what they do with the with an average dollar cost, because they've got it down to a pretty good science, they give free scholarships to people who can't afford to go to Bethel Colony of Mercy. And we have done 37 people. You hear it, Warren Grove Methodist Church. Not John Grizzle, not Chris Snellgrove, but y'all. If you add those together, that's 61 people, roughly. And on an average household of probably 10 people's lives who are affected, that's 610 people that Hope Mountain Ministry has reached. I think y'all should give yourself a hand. Because y'all have helped us reach lives that a lot of people would just be forgotten about, you know. I appreciate it. I know their families appreciate it. I know they personally appreciate it. But it does take money to do things. And, you know, so we're kind of at a standstill right now because what's going on at Mountain? Chris, would you like to tell them a little bit about that?
Well, the vision of the mountain was born out of a conversation with Jim Sprinkle, Jason, myself, and John. John had just come down from Bethel Colony, and he was on fire as a lightning rod for witnessing and testifying to people. We were talking a lot about Jason, especially about beginning ministry with people who are trapped in addiction. And so we kind of had a little summit meeting, and Broncos just seemed like the best place for a summit meeting.
That's where genius ideas come from.
Yeah, geniuses are born, or it's pizza. Anyway, that day launched something incredible and unbelievable. I left from there with Becky's nagging telephone messages to go see somebody in Greenville. I asked John if he wanted to go. He said, yeah. We took off to Greenville and had the single most amazing, outrageous day of ministry I've ever had in my life at the Children's Hospital that day. And we came right back and told y'all about it. Many of you, you know, weren't as incredulous then as you are now. But it was an amazing day where God had an agenda to heal people, set them free. We saw demons cast out right in front of our very eyes. We saw people healed. From the minute we got off the elevator on that floor, the nurses said, down the hall. And you're the preacher? And I said, yeah. They said, down the hall.
Shouting in the room.
Yeah. And they followed us down there. I never did anything but stand there while God did all this crazy stuff all afternoon. We almost wrecked the truck coming home on 95, laughing and praising God for all the healing and miracles we saw that day, including a child set free from autistic mutism. And it was incredible. We saw a woman locked in homosexuality set free. We prayed over little children who formed a line in the hallway. I lost John at one point. I looked out in the hall, and he's out there in the hall with his hands on the social worker's head. She's on the floor, and just her face is black from mascara. And he's praying over, and the guards and the nurses are out there, hallelujah. And the rooms are empty, and the children and their parents are coming out and forming a line in the hall for prayer. It was an incredible day. Jason left from that same meeting, and under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he was inspired to go and visit the mountain, which we all know is the home of Sharon Hill. And he had an incredible visit with her. It was a gobstopping event. It was one of those things where she said stuff to him, and he was like, this can't even be right, you know. He came back and spoke with us and said, this woman is trying to give us a mountain. And she wants nothing but to see ministry go on and her ministry continue. And through a lot of events, a lot of things had happened. We went up there. But Sharon had been essentially trapped there. I won't say abandoned.
Yeah.
Isolated
there for 6 years after her husband brought her there from Florida, and then he died. And so she was stuck, and we said, well, we felt very strongly. God went to a lot of trouble to get us up on this mountain, and we wonder why we're here. What have you been praying? And she said, send help, send help, send help, send help, send help, send help. And I said, well, I think that's why we're here. I didn't realize it until just this morning that that is what we had said, that we felt like God had sent us to help Sharon Hill on the mountain. But we did begin at that time to begin to feel like God was saying, you can do ministry on the mountain. She was inviting us. She was teaching us, showing us things. She's a PhD. She had written books. She had manuals she had written. She was giving us all this information. She was losing her ability. She was slipping slowly into like dementia and Alzheimer's. And we were losing her. And so we began to lean into and think that someday we'd be able to have the mountain. A lot of my effort and focus, I've always said, I never want to hear a preacher make promises that he heard from God or say things God is saying, to have them not come true and then not go and take ownership for it. And that's never been true. I don't want to hear a preacher do that, and I don't want to be someone like that. So I've been saying to God the last year and a half, Lord, if this is ending, I'm going to go take it all back. But to this morning, I feel like the Lord is saying, you don't have to take it all back. Just put it in perspective. And so the windows I had closed a couple of weeks ago in my heart, I've now seen one crack back open. The Lord said, you've got to have air in there. So I've left it open. In 2018, I was riding in my truck down the road, and the Lord said very abruptly to me, you know, the Methodist Church was in turmoil. We had the 2016 General Conference was a mess. 2019 was coming up, and my heart was in turmoil. And right down the highway, God said in my heart directly with words, you're failing, said Chris, you're failing to dream a big enough dream. Well, I said, thanks a lot, God. You know, how do you dream a big enough dream? And of course, the next thought was, only God can dream a God-sized dream. Listen. And so what I got from that was, I started listening. And over the course of the next few months, of course, John, right after that, went to Bethel. His mom asked me, or his sister asked, could I get him up there? And we did. But I began to hear pieces of this humongous dream. Turns out God dreams his biggest dreams in the hearts of the people around him. And it seemed like my job was to hear all of them and see the thread and see what God was doing. The heart for ministry in this congregation is so huge, so big, and has so many dimensions to it. It can't be corralled into one cup, which is what I've been guilty of doing, is trying to get it all into one man-manageable story, right? In the meantime, that was 2018. By the summer of 2019, we're meeting with Jason and his dad, and by the fall, we're having all of these amazing experiences. And the General Conference of the Methodist Church happened.
I'd like to add something also about a dream.
Okay.
I had a friend, his name was Onage. He was at Bethel College of Mercy with me. Before Chris and I even knew anything about the mountain property or Miss Sharon or anything, and Jason had went there.
I was leaving that out on purpose.
He had had two dreams that I would be doing ministry on a mountain type situation with a big white house on it. Well, if you've ever been to the mountain, that's what we call Hook Mountain. Miss Sharon's home. It sits up on the largest point in Union County, and it's a big white house with purple shutters.
So Jason had told me about his encounter with Miss Hill, and it was a big. He said, "Imagine a big beach house on a mountain." So I did. I thought, "Wow, that's crazy." And then I go to pick John up for church that morning. He comes out and says, "Guess what? A friend called me and said, blah 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 about a hill, neon mountain." And I went, Jason said, what? Justin said, what's your name? John said, guess what this guy called me this morning and said? He told me, I was just like, I can't believe this. I said, I got to get you to the church. So we went to church, and Jason and John got together. It was like, boom, you know? So it's pretty amazing. Now, I've just replayed itself tens of times. We can't tell all the stories.
Right.
There's tons and tons of things happen that we're just confirming. But over time, I mean, John was standing in the middle of the road one day. And no, you were putting up a mailbox. Yeah, and this guy rides up and says, what are you guys doing? I said, we're starting up an addiction recovery ministry and all this. And the guy says, well, I'm addicted to alcohol. Right sitting there in the middle of the highway. John ministering to him in the middle of the street. You know, it's just things that like that, one after another. But the bottom line is, we've arrived at a time through COVID, you know, a lot of casualties in the church. I think every church in the country was reduced by about a third. COVID took its toll.
A lot of casualties in my life. And
a lot of casualties in John's life. Then, of course, the just incredibly crazy general conference where even though the will of the conference was to maintain our doctrinal standards, when it ended, a large portion of the church in the West said, we don't care what you said, we're not going to abide by any of it. I knew then that we were in a lawless situation and had to change. A lot of things have happened in those 6 years. Incredible, seismic change in our lives has occurred. But all through it all, John has continued to minister Jesus. All the while, I had this gigantic idol in my head called Hope Mountain. We were calling it Hope Mountain. She called it Dove Mountain. I learned that a number of well-intentioned individuals across time, decades really, have tried to get that mountain. Men grew up and grew old and died with the dream of getting hold of the mountain. And I knew from that list of casualties, I did not want to be. My kill was one of the casualties, the last one. Or even Uncle Larry. I knew I didn't want to be on that list. Well, they finally offered to us, Mom is still on the hill, and they said, we'll sell it to you for $250,000. That's 70 acres in the house. Well, we made it known that that's what had happened, and some people gave generously. But we only would hear of rumors of people who might give a lot. And we never really ever committed or found anybody committed financially to that. So it just sort of languished. While Sharon was on the hill, John was constantly up there. We had somebody up there in one of the apartments, renting an apartment up there, assisting Sharon. And so
many things that were wrong with the home that we had to help.
Yeah, the home itself was
more safety, you know, for herself. Being in a dementia state in our own life, she was walking 3 stories high up the steps and everything, and was going up into the very top floor, the third floor. We had to redo, you know, the concrete around the porch because it had huge cracks in it and was falling in. The decking. All around the house, most of it had to be completely replaced.
So we did a lot of work that a lot of people donated a lot of money to get the work done. And we felt like that was kind of promised, you know, earnest work. But recently, Miss Hill has been moved from the mountain, and with the family communicated to us that they wanted us to have first try, and they had promised that, so they wanted, but as quickly as possible could we let them know. So we asked for a week, and they gave us a week. John called Jason, and we've been praying about it. But about 2 days after that communication, she emailed me and said, oh, by the way, the price has gone up another $125,000. So appraised value of the house was somewhere in the 400s. And they then wanted to us to pay $375. And that's when I knew they were inviting us to step away from the table. So we agreed at that time that that's what we thought. We also thought, we've got to tell the church. I'm sorry that you had to sit here and listen to this, but we were all involved in that together. We were casting a vision that we believed headed in that direction. And I think the disturbing thing is God didn't let me get the door all the way closed in my heart yet. So keep in mind, there's still a little transom window open at the top of the door there. If you've got $500,000, we'll take it. I wasn't kidding. But we're going to move ahead. You need to know that focusing on Jesus means doing what Jesus is doing in front of you. When Jesus puts people in front of you who are locked and trapped, and addiction never got any more critical in America than during COVID. Do you realize that families, communities were nearly bankrupted by drug addiction during COVID? Do you know that? From people being isolated and alone? Every family in America practically has been touched by addiction of one kind or another. People driven to the limits of their sanity by a family member who's trapped in addiction. And alcohol and drugs is not the problem. It's a symptom. The problem is something broken inside. Jesus can go to the broken thing and heal that right away. And then everything else becomes the unentanglement, the disentanglement of the person's life and the damage they've caused. So Hope Mountain Ministries is alive. And we would hate for anyone to stop supporting Hope Mountain Ministries because it appears like the mountain is slipping away. So we had to come and tell you, had to make time for a serious conversation. And John is 5 till 12, so you go ahead and say whatever you're going to say.
Well, just in a quick little, you know, couple of minutes here, I'd like to say where Hope Mountain is headed. I have taken many people to what they call transitional housing.
Oh, yeah.
Transitional housing is where four or five guys or four or five women live in a home. A ministry leases a home, or sometimes they buy a home. And these individuals who have burned the bridges, okay, in their life where they can't go back home, there's no other place to go except maybe a mission or something like that. They leave like Faith Home or Bethel Colony of Mercy. They might go into a transitional housing where they are helped in finding their job. They pay into the household as a budget to learn to get back functional in life. You know, it could be $120, it could be $150 a week, but it all goes into the fund to pay for everyone to live in this house. The ministry would manage the money, pay the lease, pay the power bill, the water bill, help pay Uber fees if that's needed, if they're transportation. A lot of things are involved. And I've been talking with some real estate people here in Spartanburg, and I have two people that are helping me trying to find some of these locations. One for a man, a men's house, and one for a women's house. It's very possible that we can do this in a quick time, but we need to raise some money. I will be honest with you, because we have spent a lot of money helping a lot of people. My goal is to raise $25,000, and that's what I told Chris. That would help put down first month lease, security deposits in a home. The people would be supplied from two places, Bethel Colony Mercy and Faith Home.
And they're interested in doing that.
Yeah, they're very interested in doing it. I have a good personal relationship with Pastor Pruitt at Bethel Colony Mercy. Y'all seen Bethel come down here. And they want to come back. I'd like to make some time this year for them to come back also. I'm sure y'all would love to see a little bit more and hear some more testimonies from people who have been transformed through the blood of Jesus, just like I was. But it takes a lot of hard work. And, you know, being a one-man show sometimes, it's hard to do. We are going to restructure Hope Mountain Ministry. I've already talked to a few people about being on the board. Chris is going to step down as being a director because he's got so much going on with the church. His responsibility is this church, and we don't want to take that away from him.
But we have to find what the mountain would have been as a transitional housing location.
Right.
We need to add that. Still, that element still needs to be present. So pray with us. Expand your vision. Jump in and roll up your sleeves. I think we need to get the location for some transitional housing in place, and get busy continuing what we're doing.
I promised the Lord a long time ago, I'm going to do what he called me to do. I don't know how, We've done it sometimes, but the Lord has pieced it together for us, one person at a time. And I know that He's going to keep piecing it together, because that's who He is. He did it for me, and He can do it for other people too. And as, but we need your support. We need your prayers first, and then whatever way that you see that you would like to help this ministry. We will continue to keep on doing our paper drive, and we will continue to helping people. How they're sent to us, you know. And so that's what I was called to do, and that's what I'm going to do, but I need your help.
We may not be high on the mountain. It has beautiful views from the mountain. Anybody that's been there can tell you. It's amazing. But we are high on Jesus Christ. We are high on what He can do when we allow Him to work. And so remember, this one thing is still with us. Keep your eyes on Jesus.